Chris Hansen, along with News Anchor Director Jason Taylor. It's time for our Legislative Hotline for Thursday this week. And this week, Jason, it's State Senator Brad Hawkins' turn from the 12th Legislative District.
Yeah, it is, Brad. We started off the entire season, the first week with you. And, of course, we're rotating between the District 7 now because they're so close and the 12th District. Now we have you again. And I want to ask you, first of all, about one thing that raised some eyebrows for and against last week. And that was Governor Inslee's wealth tax. What do you think about that?
Well, I haven't heard specifically what Governor Inslee is proposing, although I do know one of my colleagues in the Senate, Noelle Frame out of Seattle, has proposed a wealth tax. She introduced a bill last legislative session about this, too. The one in the Senate that she's introduced is Senate Bill 5486. And I haven't had a chance to review this in detail, but what I remember from prior experiences that she is trying to basically capitalize on people who are earning extraordinary wealth and basically tax them significantly. And we're basically talking, my understanding is, you know, a handful of people like the Jeff Bezos, the Starbucks, Microsoft folks, and we you know, generally speaking, anything like that, you know, I'm not supportive. I don't think we should be punishing people for their successes. I know we have a lot of needs in the state, and revenue is always helpful in that regard, but there's always an effect, too, when we do things like that, and it could have the effect of sending these prominent business people and their businesses and their ingenuity to other states. Senator Frame is a new senator, although she's very experienced as a House member. She's very smart. She's just very progressive, too. So I don't know if she is teaming up with Governor Inslee to make a run at this wealth tax, but to meet Governor Inslee's budget, I do believe he's going to need some additional revenues, and they're always trying to get creative as to what those are.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we'll be able to talk about this, but the excise or the tax is in the Supreme Court today. The capital gains tax right now, it's coming in today, and we're going to be monitoring that, and that's something that was kind of controversial as well. I don't know if you want to talk about that. Go ahead if you want. Otherwise,
Well, that's an interesting one because the state of Washington has essentially built its budget and banked on that capital gains income tax revenue. And as KPQ has reported, it's been already struck down by a Douglas County Superior Court, and now we anticipated it would end up in the state Supreme Court at some point, and it is a state constitutional question, so the state Supreme Court is going to be the highest body that will be adjudicating this matter. Unfortunately, I think Governor Inslee and the majority party, when they were advancing the capital gains income tax bill, a year or two ago, they kind of sensed that they had this window of time when they had the majority and Governor Inslee was in office. Of course, the majority has extended now into this this legislative session too, as a result of the recent elections. But at the time, I think they wanted to get this through because they knew they also had a very friendly state Supreme Court. So prior state Supreme Courts have struck this sort of thing down. But I'm not confident that this state Supreme Court will do the same.
Well, I'm on that note, they actually green-lighted the government to go ahead and act as if it was in effect. They said they could go ahead with the capital gains tax.
Go ahead and collect the revenues those sort of things. And one of the challenges is also that particular provision and the capital gains income tax revenue is being linked to an expansion of child care subsidies in our state. Mm-hmm. So those who support a capital gains income tax, they're being very strategic about this, not just about the timing of it and having a potentially friendly state Supreme Court, but also tying the expenditures from those revenues to what is a need in our state. And if the capital gains income tax by our state Supreme Court is somehow struck down, then it's going to create a hole in the budget as well. And how you unravel something like that about as popular is difficult to do.
You're right. They did kind of wrap that in what you just talked about as far as selling that that package there. Now, I think you wanted to talk about whatever you want to do, your bills. You said you had a lot of traction here with the subject of the policing laws and the pursuit laws.
Well, actually, it's just interesting. On the policing pursuits bill, there is a House bill and a Senate bill, but I just mentioned it because it's starting to flood my email inbox. The Senate bill to allow police pursuits, which I support, is sponsored by Senator John Lubick, and he's a Democratic member of the state Senate. He is a retired state patrol trooper, and he's garnered bipartisan support for his measure. Then there's also a House version of the bill. But the Law and Justice Committee Chair, Senator Maka Dinkra, has recently, I think it was Tuesday, came out and sort of made an announcement that she is going to block the police pursuits bill. And that has created a wave of communications all across the state and has really sent people on both sides of the aisle, including her fellow Democrats, into frustration, because they now are hearing some of the very things we predicted when the bill passed and we voted against it some years ago, that, you know, it's going to create problems for law enforcement and communities are concerned about their crime and bringing people to justice. So it'll be interesting to see where it all ends up, but this is an example of how potentially one person who is the chair of the Law and Justice Committee, who feels very strongly about the measure, the reforms that were put in place, how she may be able to block the bill. And that came up too, because we tried to actually elevate the police pursuits bill from last legislative session to the Senate floor, and my understanding was that she was blocking that as well. So in the Senate, when there's few members and few members on each committee, you know, you have this situation. She is citing research that, but some people question it, that actually the deaths linked to police pursuits are down since the police reforms were implemented. She's stating that they're down 73%, but many other researchers are rejecting her the methods and conclusions that she is basing her opinion on. So it's going to be a big issue, especially early in the session.
Sounds like the elephant in the room, basically, the way you're describing it. And, you know, just thinking about this, it's going from, you know, probable cause back down to reasonable suspicion. And just getting that phrase change, which has a lot to do with this, seems to be the nut in the room right there. And I see how both sides are kind of dug in. Where you hear, you know, when there's talk about changing that phrase, you get the ACLU and people testifying that they're tired of police brutality. And so I you just have two sides working there, and I kind of get where you're coming from as well. But
people are concerned about police pursuits, but I think we need to trust law enforcement not to engage in police pursuits that they believe will endanger others.
Yeah.
And so law enforcement, they're trained professionals, and they don't necessarily just want to go high-speed pursuits for everybody either. So, I mean, they use their judgment. They exercise their training. And I think, you know, we need to support law enforcement, because law enforcement is trying their best to protect our communities. And these communities all over the state, many of which are within the Democratic members' districts who are original sponsors of the bill, are now coming forward a year or two later with all these stories and concerns. So it'll be interesting to see how the pressure mounts on this particular senator. But, you know, this is just one bill. You know, there's always interesting bills. We're in the committee phase right now. So for the next few weeks and for the prior few weeks, we've been really focused on all these bills in committee. One bill that I just kind of wanted to mention, it's scheduled for a hearing before a transportation committee, which I serve on, is proposing to lower the alcohol content for DUIs.
That is another bill from Lubick, the guy who sponsored the bill that was being blocked. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And so I serve with Senator Levick on the Transportation Committee. The bill's going to advance to our committee for a hearing. It proposes to lower the DUI threshold from 0.08 to 0.05. And generally speaking, you know, without having heard this testimony yet, I am supportive of the concept. I in no way support drinking and driving, and it's difficult for me to believe that someone who is just under the legal limit of 0.08 is somehow not impaired or a totally safe driver. But at the same time, you know, if we do lower that to say 0.05, then people who blow 0.06 or 0.07 may be treated much like someone who blows 1.5 or whatever, you know, off the charts. So I think we need to be thoughtful for how that particular bill moves along too. And I have some ideas. I might even offer a committee amendment if it comes to a vote in Senate Transportation.
Well, that's interesting. Now, tracking other bills, the one last thing I would ask you about, because we're kind of running out of time here, would be, because we're making progress, we're finally doing the study. It's going to take a year, and the Chelan Douglas Port Authority has organized everything. That's the feasibility study for what they're now calling Regional Sports Complex instead of Aquatic Center. And how are you moving along with that bill?
Well, I'm very pleased that the Chelan County, Chelan Douglas Regional Port Authority has taken such a proactive effort. I mean, I'm really thankful for Mayor Jerilee Crawford, who is heading the Regional Sports Facility Study Group. We have a lot of good people, including the new CEO of Confluence Health and other elected and elected officials participating in that. That particular bill has passed the Senate Local Government Committee and is scheduled for a hearing this Monday before the Senate Transportation Committee. It will actually be heard the same day that that particular blood alcohol content bill will also receive a hearing. So I've been in communications with the CEO of the Regional Port Authority, Jim Koontz, and Mayor Crawford, Mayor Koontz. We're essentially going to try to replicate that testimony before the Senate Transportation Committee. But also, since there's potentially a transportation component, provision element to this bill, we're going to try to also mention, you know, we're going to have probably the executive director of the Chelan Douglas Transportation Council and maybe Link Transit also testify, because the bill allows some of the revenues to be used to support transportation-related projects and pedestrian-related projects, you know, related to a regional sports facility. So that's why it's going to the Transportation Committee.
I was wondering about that. I guess that's beefing up the infrastructure transportation-wise around where the sports complex would be located.
Well, yeah, it's two things, actually. So one, if you look at the Odabashian Bridge, and if the study group ends up thinking about Wenatchee Landing, which is, I think, what's on front of a lot of people's mind, we have interchanges on both sides of the river on the George Seller Bridge on the Douglas County side and the east and the Wenatchee side. We also have an interchange on the Wenatchee side of the Odabashian Bridge. You can drop down, go to Stamil, you can go over to where the Apple Commission is. We don't really have an interchange on the Douglas County side of the Odabashian Bridge. And there is a transportation project that's been long planned in that area. And so maybe some of the revenues from this can help support that. Also, the Wenatchee Landing area is just off the Apple Capitol Loop Trail, and we could connect the trail into the Wenatchee Landing area, which I think would be great for pedestrians, for people on bicycles, people traveling down from Lincoln Rock State Park could essentially just ride right into the regional sports complex, as well as children and families all around the Wenatchee Valley could utilize the Apple Capitol Loop Trail to connect into those facilities. And then someday, if we have shops and restaurants and hotels, it would really be nice to have an interconnection into the Loop Trail system. So that's that's part of the reason why that provision is included in this bill, and obviously that's why the Senate Transportation Committee has an interest in it.
Okay, that coming up on Monday, testimony on that bill about here with the sports complex, regional sports complex in the state legislature and the Senate coming up. And we're out of time, but boy, fascinating stuff. State Senator Hawkins, great to be with you, and we will talk to you in 2 weeks right here on the Legislative Hotline.
That sounds great, guys. Thank you so much for having me.